Good morning, Tabernacle. It is so good to see you. It is so good to see you, and it's good to be seen. And I can see your smiling faces behind your masks. So it's good to see you. It is good. I hope you all, as Pastor Kay said, had a very Merry Christmas, that the time was well spent. And so we won't belabor the time this morning. Let's get into the Word of God. Is anybody excited about the Word of God today? Anybody expecting God to hear from God? And so let's pray that God would meet us and that God would speak to us directly in the place that we need to be spoken to. And I want to say thank you to Pastor Sutrina and to Pastor Kazumbo and to the worship team and to all of the musicians and those who serve for all that you do this morning and every Sunday morning for our community. Let's pray. God, we thank you, and God, we honor you, and God, we love you. Lord, there is none beside you in heaven or in earth. Lord, you reign. And because you reign, Father, we worship you. And our lives, as we just sang, are not our own. God, to you we belong. So we enter into this space. We enter into the time that we need you to speak to us, God, that we need you to teach us and show us how to become better witnesses for you, how to become more like your son, Jesus. And so, God, my prayer is, Father, is that that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. God, my prayer is that every influence that would attempt to distract us from what you have to say or keep this seed from falling on good ground, that it would be destroyed and canceled and removed and blocked. So, God, that we can hear from you. Lord, we need to hear from you today, God. So we praise you and we honor you and we love you and we open our hearts and our minds to you. And we thank you because we know, Father, that you are life, that God, that your words are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we honor you and we bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say amen. 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 So if you would, please open your Bible to Isaiah, the 65th chapter, and we're going to start at the 17th verse. Isaiah, the 65th chapter, starting at the 17th verse. Here is the reading of the Word of God. For I am about to create a new heaven and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For the one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and the one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the reading of the Word of God. In these verses of Scripture, in Isaiah 65, the prophet Isaiah is speaking to believers. And I think that's important for us to understand, because he's speaking to believers. He's not speaking to people who don't know God. He's not speaking to people who God hasn't called. He is not speaking to people who have not experienced God. He's speaking to people who have come out of Egypt and gone into Canaan, into what God would call a wealthy place. And he is telling them that, listen, that if you choose to rebel against me, if you continue to choose to serve idol gods, if you choose to take on the ways of people who don't believe like us, then you should be prepared for a life of weeping, of distress, an unfulfilled life, a life that is void of purpose, a life of toil, a life of slavery, a life of robbery, a life of victimhood. And he says, and this will happen for generations. In this picture, the prophet of the passage gives to those who don't embrace the life of God, which Paul says is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's giving them a picture of what a life would be like without God. Now, as I read this passage, I thought, why would anybody hear this and still do it? Like, if somebody told you all of that was coming, wouldn't you be like, no, I'm good, player, I'm going the other way. I don't need that. But still, when we think about it, there are still many of people who still choose, and obviously by the passage, chose to still go in this direction. So I said, why would anybody choose a life of toil, of purposeful living, of slavery, of hardship, knowing that the God of the universe has chosen us and selected us and placed us to be in a place of delight and joy? Well, then I thought about it and realized that sometimes when we try God and he don't work, we think, I might as well try something else. And the reality of the situation is that when we feel like when we feel like God is not, and I'm using quotations, working, then it becomes easier for us to tune our ear to what seems like what's working. And so these people are not, I think what they're doing and what happens is they're longing for home. They're longing for an experience with God. And because this experience with God is not shaping and looking like they thought it was going to be, that they said, well, it looks like, you know, that what the Assyrians are doing is working. I mean, they cutting themselves and they living real good. I mean, they cussing folks out and still getting promoted at work. They come in late, they leave early, they do whatever they want to do, and now this God thing doesn't seem to be working, so maybe I'm going to try what they're doing instead of them saying, I'm going to remain faithful to the thing that God calls me to do. That makes kind of sense. Delight, joy, full lives, prosperous lives is the image in this passage that Isaiah gives to those who put their faith in the Lord. For us, for those who put their faith in the Lord, I'm including myself in that, God says he will create a foundation of peace that can only be found in the gift that God gives us, which I call the gift of hope or the gift of home. Would it be strange, since we're in the Christmas season, if you put up this tree, you put all the gifts under the tree. Christmas morning comes, and you and your family open all the gifts. You take down the tree, but you still leave a gift under the tree, or where the tree was. I believe that what this passage is showing us is that the reason we often still long for home, we still feel like something is missing, is because we have not opened all of the gifts. We've left a gift under the tree. As believers, we live in the space between the already and the not yet. We have already experienced the kingdom of God through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the not yet because we have not experienced the complete manifestation of the kingdom of God. We've experienced in eternity past Eden, but have not experienced the full return or the full restoration of a life in Eden. And this position in the already and the not yet causes us to believe that this gift that still sits under this tree might not be for us. I don't know about y'all, but I got used to, you know, when you, especially if you have kids, y'all don't do this to your parents. You get used to not buying your kids presents. Like, I don't expect my 9-year-old son to buy me a gift. He's 9. He don't have a job. We working on it. But he doesn't have a job. So you get in the habit of not expecting something, right? You get in the habit of being okay with everybody else getting what they need. And I'm just happy that they were happy. But the idea that a gift or somebody did something for you is like, that ain't for me. So sometimes we leave the gift under the tree or where it is because it can't be for us. It can't be for us because we haven't done everything right. Like, it can't be for us because, you know, again, they don't have any money to buy us something. They didn't do that. It can't be for us because we haven't loved our neighbor as good as we could. It can't be for us because we've messed up in ways that, God, I hope nobody ever finds out. This gift can't be for us because we haven't done or lived up to this expectation that we have in ourselves. And so we see this gift under this tree that God has given us, and yet we refuse to pick up the gift. Paul says that God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. And then he says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared for us to do. So you see, brothers and sisters, God is the one who has set this gift under this tree for us as a result, not as a result of how good we have been, but as a result of how good he is and how much he loves us and how he wants us to see his mercy. So in this current state that we're in, God delights over you. With every mistake that you and I make, God rejoices over us and with us and wants to be with us. Even if men have rejected you over and over and over again, God still says, I have this gift of hope for you that will put you in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. The kindness of our God is shown through his mercy, and his love is revealed in this little gift that is under the tree. So the first thing I want to tell you is, don't Don't leave the box under the tree. Don't leave it. Don't leave it. Because when we take the gift, when we pick up the gift, when we experience this gift of hope that God gives us, this experience, this gift of Jesus, that the second thing is that there is something that is inside of this box. So after we take the gift and we receive the gift, the second thing we have to do is we have to unwrap the gift. Now, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes, again, because I'm not used to getting stuff, sometimes I'm just enamored by the paper. I mean, it's pretty. And I'm enamored because I keep thinking, I can't never wrap a gift right. Never. Like, my gifts look extra terrible, so I just put them in a bag, hope that I took the price tag off, and give it to whoever gets it. But we get enamored by the wrapping paper. And when we do, we just sit there and we look at it, and that's great, but we never get to experience the gift. So picking up the gift is only the beginning of the moment. Once we pick up the gift that is under the tree, we have to unwrap the gift. And again, some of us have been so happy that somebody thought of us that we just, like I said, wanted to stare at the box. We just sit there not realizing that the best part of the gift is inside of this nice, pretty wrapping paper that's in the, it's not the box, it's not the paper, it's actually what's inside the box. Now, if you are like me, I also get joy, get great joy out of popping the little thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Ooh, I don't know what that is, but I love, anyway. But I get joy and delight from that. But that is still not the gift. That is still not the reason. That is still not the best part of this experience. The best part of the experience is to find out what is happening inside the box. So the wrapping paper, the box, the bubble wrap are great, but the gift that God gives us is, God says in this verse that he is establishing in Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. That God will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in his people. When Isaiah says this to Judah, it is centuries later that Jesus actually performs it. You see, they were waiting on the gift, but we actually get to enjoy the gift. Jerusalem, which means a foundation of peace, is created through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Unwrap the gift just as a child. When we unwrap the gift just as a child would unwrap the gift, we get to delight in it. And Jesus, who is our hope and who is our gift inside of the box, gives us his power and his authority. Jesus, who was the gift inside of this nice box, says that when you open me, I'm going to give you health and I will give you a rest. Jesus says that when you open this gift, because I am your hope and I am your gift, that I will wipe the tears from your eyes and I will call you unto myself. Jesus, our hope and our gift, says that no more will you have to stay away from me, but you get to come and eat with me and drink with me. And as he tells the woman at the well, when you drink from this cup, you will never thirst again. So my brothers and sisters, I'm telling you to unwrap the gift. Unwrap the gift so that you can let go of depression. Unwrap the gift so that as you experience Jesus, we can let go of insecurities. Unwrap the gift so that the idea that your skin color or your socioeconomic makeup determines how God feels about you. Unwrap the gift so you can understand what it is like to delight with the Lord and have the Lord delight with you. Unwrap the gift so that every devil that has attacked your bloodline knows that the curse is destroyed. Unwrap the gift to serve notice on every principality and power and spiritual wickedness in high places so that it knows that you carry in you the full authority and power of the Holy Ghost. Unwrap the gift and know that as we are called to be a peculiar people and a holy nation, that God has set us aside and pulled us apart, and that we are, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Unwrap the gift, my brother and sister, and allow the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to carry you through hard times. Unwrap the gift so that the thing that was supposed to take you out will be the thing that carries you closer to God. Unwrap the gift so you can tell sickness and disease that it has no place in your life. Unwrap the gift so that you can be in a pandemic and still say, I know that by his stripes I'm going to be healed. I know that sickness can't touch me and disease won't be able to take me out. Unwrap the gift so that the world can see that God is more than... No, don't be stop. Unwrap the gift, y'all. Unwrap the gift. Unwrap the gift. Unwrap the gift. Jesus is the gift. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our gift. Y'all get that? Jesus, God is our gift. And just as Jesus is our hope and our gift, he came into this world to restore what Adam gave up. The very same relationship that Adam had with God, we have with Jesus. So that means that when we open up the gift, we have to recognize that we do, even though we live in the already and not yet, we have and haven't experienced the full manifestation of home, we do have access to everything that belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all that dwells within. So every system belongs to God. Every person belongs to God. Every insect like this fly that keeps flying around belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. All we have to do is now then unwrap this gift. N.T. Wright says that one of the primary laws of human life is that you become like what you worship. He said, what's more is you reflect what you worship, not only back to the object itself, but outward to the world around you. This is important because the third thing that this text tells us is that this gift that God has given us is not just for us to enjoy, but it is for everybody else. Let me tell y'all the story. I'm gonna date myself here for a second. So those of you who don't remember it, I'm not that old. Does anybody remember the Nintendo Power Glove? Thank you, Jeff. Okay, all right. Whew, all right. Y'all remember Nintendo Power Glove? I remember when the commercial first came on. Y'all remember the Power Glove? Yeah, that was it. Y'all don't remember that? Okay, thank you. The Power Glove, you were supposed to, when you had the old school, the first generation Nintendo, and that's not the first generation Power Glove. I couldn't find the first generation Power Glove, but y'all know that ain't the first generation. So when what was supposed to happen was you put this glove on, and you know, with Nintendo, you had the little controllers, right? You also had, if you remember with Nintendo, when the game didn't work, you and put it in, and then put another game on top so it'd stay down. Yeah. But you got the Power Glove that when you put the glove on, you can play all of the games, you know, with your hand or, you know, touching the buttons. I wanted this Power Glove so bad. And I wanted it because I love to play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. Y'all remember that? Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, uh-huh. And so, right. And so you were on the commercial, you put the glove on and you, you know, And with Mike Tyson's punch out, I wanted this. But I grew up in your typical scenario where when I went to my parents and said, I want the Power Glove, my dad said, well, you better go get Power Glove money because we don't have money for that. We're not getting that, son. But my aunt, my auntie Nett, heard me saying this, and she bought me the Power Glove. I remember when I saw the box, I didn't, of course, it was wrapped, so I didn't know what it was, but I took off the wrapping paper and saw that this glove, that the Power Glove that I wanted was in there, and I got excited, and I took off the paper, and I took it out the box, and I ran in my room, and I hooked it up to my Nintendo, to program it to the Nintendo, and I started playing the game, and I played it for a good 2 whole days straight. Like, probably, I don't remember sleeping even for 2 days. It was like, bring my food, slide it under the door, I eat in here. But I just wanted to pay with my Power Glove. And after 2 days, I was like, I'm over it. I don't want to play with this glove no more. I was bored. Until I remembered all of my friends wanted this Power Glove too. So I started calling them like, hey, did y'all get a Power Glove? Nah, I ain't get no Power Glove. Did you get a Power Glove? Nah, I ain't get no Power Glove. I realized I was the only person who got a Power Glove for Christmas. And guess what that meant? That meant that now all of my friends wanted to run to my house and play with my Power Glove. And so now all of a sudden, now I want to play with this Power Glove again because I've got something special. I got something that nobody else has. I have something that is in demand. I have something that is needed to make the experience of Nintendo better for everybody else. But that is just like how we are supposed to be when it comes to this gift that God has given us. We have to understand that God has given us something special, that we have something that people need, that we have something that really is better than the other systems that are out there. We have something that though it's available to everybody, is not something that everybody gets to get when we get it. And so we have to be a person who freely gives this gift and shares this gift with others so that others can experience this gift that is called God. This is what God wants us. So we need to understand that just like we are longing for home, that other people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ are longing for home too. So theirs might manifest in alcoholism. It might manifest in drug use. It might manifest in various amounts of ways, but what we are all longing for is we are longing for a relationship, an encounter with the divine that shows us that we are good enough, that we are more than conquerors, that we don't have to carry the cares of the world on our shoulders, but that we can cast him on him because he cares for us. People want to experience what it is like to be blood bought and what it means to be able to rest in the power of God. Our longing for home is a longing to see the fullness of the kingdom of God on earth. We are those who are supposed to break into darkness of the devil and shine the light of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We are the ones who are supposed to go into systems and that have not submitted themselves to the authority of God the Father and show them that what we have is something that you need, that what we have is something that is better and that is something that is greater. So I just came to encourage you that not only should you pick up the gift and unwrap the gift, but that you should share the gift with those who are around you so everyone can know that Jesus is Lord, that everyone can know that not what happened under a tree, but what happened on a tree is available to them, that the same blood that washed away our sins, that the same blood that set us free, that the same Jesus who went into hell and took back the keys of the king, that took the keys of the kingdom and gave them to us, that same thing is available to you. So we then have to understand that our goal and our role is to share with others this wonderful gift that we have, because God says that I gave you this gift and I gave you this gift so that you can use it, but that you can share it. So preacher, what am I supposed to do? Isaiah says that
what we are supposed to do is that we are supposed to do this through our worship. That by the way that we worship God, people will see that we love them. By the way that we love them, they will know that we are His. That they will see that by how God establishes us, that God says, I will establish you and I will show them that my light and that my love is in you, that I will place my hand on you, that you don't have to worry about protection because I'm going to be your protection. You don't have to worry about provision because I'm going to be your provision. You don't have to worry about building houses and someone comes and lives in them because I am going to put a hedge of protection around you. I am going to be your God and you are going to be my people. And so what I'm telling you is as we show people, we show them by worshiping God. We show them by praising God. We show them by saying that even as Job says, that though you slay me, yet I'm going to trust you. You show them by saying that God, that you are my high place. You are the high thing in my life, that you are the best thing that has ever happened to me. And I want to show this and share this with you because we're not the only ones who are longing for home. We're not the only ones who are longing for Jesus. And Jesus, who died on a cross, comes to us and says, now I'm seated at the right hand of the Father, but I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to leave my Spirit with you. That the things that I've done, my interpretation, won't compare to the things that you're going to do. There is a greater work for us to do. And we do it by worshiping God. We do it in spirit and in truth. We don't pretend that life doesn't hurt, but we know that our hurt doesn't compare to God's goodness. We don't do it by pretending like we don't have pain, but that our pain doesn't compare to God's promise. We do it by being honest and honorable and saying, God, I know this doesn't feel good, but God, I know that you are good. We do it by saying, God, I know this looks like that this is going to be the end, but God, I know that you live in me and that your Spirit is going to take me and carry me. I know, God, that guess what? That you are greater than anything that could be against me. So as we close, I need us to understand that this gift that God has given us is home. He's given us His Son Jesus. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And in that is the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the prosperity, the long-suffering, the authority, the power, the healing that we need. As we long for home, as we long for the full manifestation of Jesus Christ, let us remember that He has given us the gift. He has given us the access. He has given us all that we need to be all that He has desired for us to be. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you. God, we thank you for this gift of your Son, Jesus. God, we thank you that it wasn't about anything we did, but about your love for us. We thank you that, God, that you call us and that you've said that you will establish shalom on this earth. And so, God, we avail ourselves to you. We say, God, that we love you and that we're committed to you and that there is nothing, Father, that we don't want to submit to you. So, Father, we submit our lives. We give ourselves away. We open up our hearts and say, God, have your way in our lives. Father, I pray, Father, that as we enter into
this new space, into this new year, that God, that you would renew us, renew our strength, that you would allow a fresh wind to come in and renew us and renew our minds and renew our thoughts and to position us where you would have us to be. God, we thank you. God, we love you. You are a great God. You are a great God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.